It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard as we are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino as always on a busy Monday lined up. And we talk about sports from a betting perspective here on this program on today's show. Three different guests in an hour. Professional sports bettor Brad Powers will join the show. He will tell you about an incredible bad beat in college basketball over the weekend. I'm not exaggerating. It's one of the worst I've ever seen, and who he likes early in the tournament. Pat Forty, who covers college basketball for SI, going to be on the show. And, Pauly, we'll get a perspective from the other side of the counter. Vinny Maiulu is going to join us from the South Point Sportsbook, and he'll tell us who bettors were on yesterday as they were opening up the numbers. As it comes fast and furious, man, once they make those matchups and the selections and they're in, the bookmakers get to work. They put them on the board as fast as possible, and then they give you an opportunity to bet all these games. So we'll run down most of it today on the show, what we like, the regions, future odds, all of it here on Follow the Money. How are you? Good weekend?
Yeah. You?
Solid.
Yeah. Good picks.
Solid.
Yeah. All right. Good championship week. Good finish. I thought the committee did a pretty good job yesterday. I mean, they really, you know, we talk about the seeding issues, but in terms of who got in and who got out, the snubs, the bubble teams, I thought they did a good job. I really like Seth Davis when Greg Gumbel throws it to him. He goes, no one wants to hear from me. Let's go with the teams. And they get right into it.
They finally got right to it yesterday.
Yeah, that's a good job.
No screwing
around.
There's
no need to, there's no need to mess around. Get right to it.
I will say a couple of observations with the seeding. How the hell is Tennessee a 3?
Yeah.
They are clearly better than that. Should have been a 2 seed over Duke without any hesitation and should have been a 2 seed over Kentucky. Really, without any hesitation. Their only loss to a team outside the current net top 20 was Alabama late December without two of their best players. But, of course, they had to get Duke into Greenville instead. And then Tennessee also had 11 quad one wins. Duke had 6. Non-conference schedule, Tennessee. SOS, 16. Duke, 116. It's not even close.
Hmm.
They're not even the same conversation.
Well, it's been a problem for many years.
It has been, yes.
These games do not matter, and they don't count on Sunday.
How about that?
Joe Lunardi actually flat out said it when he was being interviewed by Reese Davis. I give Joe Lunardi full marks. Did a great job again about who's in, who's out. He had Wyoming out and A&M in. Only mistake he made. But he had Tennessee as a 3 seed.
And he was.
I said, I know they're exactly what they're going to do. Tennessee's going to get a 3. People ripped them. He got it right. But when you watch, if you're a major conference, you must move your championship game back a day because they don't pay attention. The games don't count on Sunday.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
How are they unwilling to actually move teams up and down the seed lines when, you know, they're watching all these games on Sunday leading into the selection process? And I like what Lunardi said, and he kind of had to pump his chest up, and he did. He's like, look, I've been studying these metrics for a long, long time. He goes, this is way before the net or anything like this.
Yeah.
This is how they've operated over many, many years, and he's getting blasted by everybody. And he's like, I'm steadfast on it. Tennessee is not going to move off the 3 line. But even if they don't take Sunday's game into consideration, they owned Kentucky on Saturday. Doesn't the game on Saturday mean anything?
Yeah. He also made a good point, too, about not a big difference between a 2 and a 3 seed. That's fair. But certainly, when you look at how much value you put, I thought it was winning the conference tournament was a big deal.
Yeah.
You think that should be a big deal.
I do, in a
good league, right? And Duke couldn't get it done. So, and the ACC was down big time this year.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And that's another thing with the seeding really caught my attention. Boise's an 8 and Colorado State's a 6.
Now, that's outrageous.
What are we doing here?
That is absolutely outrageous.
How did they whiff that badly?
Oh, that's egregious. They win the regular season and the conference tournament.
I'm baffled.
And Colorado State's a better seed.
By two seed lines.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a big difference in non-conference between the two, but come on. I mean, body of work. They won
They won
the title regular season and conference tournament. Oh, that's bad.
That was stunning to me.
Oh,
brutal. It really was.
No respect for the AAC.
No, none. Zero.
Oh, look at Houston. Houston ranks 3rd in the net. In the first 2 seasons of the net rankings, every team in the top 3 in the net got a 1. Houston's a 5. Memphis is a 9.
9.
And if they win, they get Gonzaga. No SMU.
No
either.
SMU. Yep.
They did not like the American Athletic. That's unfortunate.
You know, that's the funny thing about Houston is, and we talked about this last week, right? In like power ratings, Ken Pom, Bart Torvik, the net ratings, Houston's number was to the moon. They were top 5 in all of them. And yet the bracket matrix, which is a combination of all the people who do the seeding for a living, the average seed line for Houston was a 5. So the people who do this, it's like, no, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I know what the committee's going to do, and it's going to be a 5 with Houston. They pegged that one.
Yep, and I was wrong, too. They were fantastic in the conference tournament, and they were great against Memphis. I was way off on that one. Memphis just played them and buried them, and Memphis went 2-0 against them. That did not work out yesterday. They do not like the American Athletic. They love the Mountain West. And this will be we'll do it at the end of the show coming up. We will bet against this conference.
Oh, I already did yesterday.
Good for you. Every single year. Mm. But yeah, you had to feel good for Wyoming's chances when you saw the seed for Colorado State Boise. And even San Diego State that Wyoming was going to get in. Michigan to get in, but not Michigan's in one thing, but they're not even in the first 4.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan was safely in.
So how about this?
17-14.
Michigan just blew a huge lead and looked terrible in the process against Indiana. Indiana the next day proceeded to beat Illinois. They give Indiana a 12 in a playing game, but Michigan safely in at an 11? And Michigan 17-14 on the year? Strange.
Yep. Georgia State isn't a 16. That's a bad job. And I was ready to take Colgate to win, but Wisconsin gets to play in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I did grab the 9.5. Now, there's a reason why I did make that bet. A couple of reasons. It's because I was looking to fade Wisconsin in the first round anyway, and I believe that they were the committee's highest number 3. What? Again. They were higher ranked in the seed line than Tennessee? Okay. Regardless of that, I was looking to fade Wisconsin in the opening round. And then we like Colgate. We think they're really good. And then the difference was 9.5 was available. And another book, Wisconsin was 7.5. So I grabbed the 9.5. And now, you know, if I want to get out of it, potentially, but I'm comfortable taking that 9.5. It wasn't like on purpose that I faded Wisconsin and Providence. It was just the matchups and the numbers. I also bet South Dakota State +3 against Providence when other books are laying like 1, 1.5 in the game. So my thought is if somehow there's steam on South Dakota State this week and Providence goes off as a dog, I will come back and then try to get like a small middle spot there between those two teams.
Yeah, that's other observations too with the seeding and with the odds, as you mentioned. You have an 11 seed favored, you have two 10s favored, and a 13 versus a 4. You have a 1 or 2 point spread.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jackrabbits, that's you're taking on a Providence team that no one respects.
Exactly. Yes, correct.
But that is. But think about that. That's a 13 against a 4, and it's a 1-2 point spread.
So as this thing progresses and we watch more tournament games, you know, every single year, and 12s beat 5s all the time, that kind of turned into a thing. When it was like a handful of years ago, all of a sudden 12s were favored over 5s, and you're like, well, yeah, this is commonplace. This happens constantly. So they're even with them. I'd also say this. If Kansas can avoid, I would say, Iowa in the Sweet 16, boy, do they have a cakewalk out of that region. Because I don't trust Auburn for a second. I don't trust Wisconsin. LSU and Iowa State's a first-round matchup. Vomit-inducing. Iowa State safely in, by the way, with the way that they were operating.
Yeah.
But I think the draw Kansas got is potentially here. Now, again, this is going to go how it breaks. I think their path to the Elite Eight and Final Four could be nothing's simple. Nothing's a lock, obviously, but it could be very easy for them. And then other games I want to see, give me Villanova and Tennessee is at 2-3 in Arizona's region. And how about Gonzaga, the number one overall seed, but that's the bracket of death? Possible landmines.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll kill Boise State. But
will they play? I don't think they'll play Boise State.
That I was going to say, what if they get Memphis?
Yeah.
They're hot.
I mean, they come into the game yesterday, won 12 of 13 since the profanity-laced tirade from Penny.
Mm-hmm.
They had routed Houston. I mean, that's you didn't want to see Memphis on that 8-9 game.
Sure. Now, these are all what-ifs because Arkansas could lose to Vermont. And who knows, maybe New Mexico State would get UConn. But if Gonzaga has to go through Connecticut or Arkansas just to get to the Elite Eight, and then waiting to go to the Final Four is going to be Duke, could beat them on a neutral already, or Texas Tech? How does the number one overall seed get that kind of a region?
Yeah, I know. I'd be concerned about Texas Tech, not Duke. I have several good emails about that. The pressure is getting to the kids here.
Yeah.
I mean, Duke was terrible in the tournament.
Awful.
Yes.
They never had a lead at halftime.
Yes, right. And then the fascinating game to me is 4-13 Arkansas Vermont. Now, will the athletes and maybe the size frustrate Vermont? Vermont's tough to handicap in power. I mean, they body bag people in that entire tournament. They won every game by 30.
Yeah, and they're laying 17 points.
Right, they're 21 point favorites in a conference semifinal, and they're laying 16 in the title game.
Yeah.
Never in doubt with both.
That's
ripped right through the league. Beat Colgate. But now, is it going to be too much of a step up in competition?
Sure.
I don't know. Could be. But this is where I'm fascinated by that Arkansas-Vermont game.
I love that game. I don't like it when they put two mid-majors against each other. But
I know where you're going.
Murray State and San Francisco.
I know. I wanted to watch both of them.
So did I.
They should have flipped that with one of the games. Maybe LSU-Iowa State. I mean, that's bad job, Murray State for San
Francisco. Yeah. And I'm surprised they made San Francisco the favorite. So I did bet Murray State plus 1.5 yesterday in that game. And the winner of that game will get Kentucky. Well, if they get by St. Peter's or Lane 17, I believe, in that game. And I'll tell you, Kentucky's been a sexy pick from what I've watched. Maybe a little bit too sexy to come out of that region and go to the Final Four.
I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, so do I. I mean, I like the way it breaks for them, potentially. But the top half, not easy for Baylor. Potentially North Carolina and then UCLA. That's not easy.
Will the one seed go out in the second round? Will an 8-9 win a game?
Mm.
You think so?
It's certainly possible. I think Carolina could give Baylor a game. The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out the daily specials at BetRivers.com. More on the tournament coming up next, including other bets that we've made so far here on Follow the Money.
VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook serves up tennis, soccer, hockey, college, and NBA. And don't miss out, daily specials. The props are already out, baby. Did an excellent job. Same game parlays. No matter what you bet on, you can count on your withdrawal approval happening fast. More than 80% of withdrawals approve instantly at Bet Rivers. Get started with life after football with the Bet Rivers app. What are you talking about? Football nonstop this past week.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll get into coming up in about 15 minutes.
Ooh.
Okay, so you know, Paul, a lot of times these teams that are, you know, very appealing to the public and, you know, mainstream media, a team like Iowa who gets red hot, great job by them winning the Big Ten tournament. They've been red hot lately. Same thing with Tennessee. They'll become a trendy pick to, you know, make it to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, and they go out and play an early game on Thursday or Friday, and oops, they spill it up, and they get beat right away. Yep. On the flip side, you have situations like a Michigan, where I don't think they belonged in the tournament, but watch what happens with Michigan now at 17 and 14. They will beat their opponent coming up. Why am I blanking on their opponent?
Colorado State,
yeah. They'll beat Colorado State, and then they'll become a live dog at that point, and who knows? I mean, maybe they win a couple of games in the tournament. That happens all the time. A team that should not be in, oh, God, what would the committee do? How'd they possibly put this team in? And, oh, yeah, there they are in the Sweet 16.
There seemed to be more outrage over Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Which I could see, the because that is a thin resume for Notre Dame. At least Michigan has some big wins. That's the thing, again, that surprised me is that they were safe lane and not in the first four.
Yep.
Richmond knocked out Dayton. That was the juicy tidbit. If Richmond would have lost yesterday, Dayton was going. So that was, as Pat Forty said, Atlantic 10 on Atlantic 10 crime. A&M had a great SEC run, but they didn't get in. And Va Tech had to win. Va Tech wasn't getting in if they didn't beat Duke.
No, they had to.
What a performance by Virginia Tech to run out North Carolina and Duke back-to-back games.
Oh, what a week, yeah.
They won on a buzzer beater to start the tournament.
They had to.
They won on a buzzer beater.
The buzzer beater against Clemson.
Yeah, and now they're dancing.
Sure.
And they're only a one-point dog against Texas in a game they can get.
Yeah, and wow. I think Texas was as high as 2.5 or maybe even 3 at some spots yesterday. And not a lot of people have that faith in Texas right now. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's the perfect storm, by the way. What I talked about with Michigan and Tennessee, that's your potential second-round matchup. How many bets did you make when the numbers came out yesterday?
6.
Who do you like?
Indiana, Michigan, Memphis. This is all anti-Mountain West. You give the numbers in a second. UAB catching a bunch. UAB's good. And what a game that was Friday. And what a performance by UAB and Saturday as well. And I'm going to go against Sister Jean. Loyola Chicago favored. Is Ohio State going to do this again? Screw it up back-to-back years and go out early. Got beat by Oral Roberts last year. Embarrassing. I just think, I mean, they're favored, and everyone will be on Loyola Chicago.
They have been.
They've been great the last couple years. Well, longer than that, actually. I just don't think this is I think they're good, but they're not great, so I think Ohio State will win.
See, I like Villanova's path to the Sweet 16, and you can bet on all this stuff, in fact, but I can't find a number on Villanova to make the Sweet 16. I think some of the books I was looking at actually are in Pennsylvania, so they wouldn't offer them, I believe is what it is. But their path, I think they spank Delaware, and then I think they have a chance to coast against either Loyola or Ohio State in the second round.
Yeah.
So I'd like them to come out and be in the Sweet 16. I will say, though, that Tennessee again at that 3 spot, Longwood is good. That team can play, and I firmly am with you, Paulie. I'm fading the Mountain West Conference. I think Michigan wins, and the Michigan... Who knows? Fly in the ointment, maybe, against that Tennessee team who comes into this tournament red hot. And here's what I did.
Yeah.
Because you knew that Indiana was going to be favored against Wyoming as soon as that number popped up on the screen. I did a money line parlay on Indiana and Michigan that pays plus 160 because I'm simply fading a couple of these teams in the Mountain West Conference. I want to do the same thing with Memphis against Boise. Haven't gotten there yet, though. Going back to 2010, the Mountain West Conference is 14 and 29 straight up in the tournament.
Aye, there it is. Yep. The other thing is it's wide open, and it's what I tweeted Friday about, will someone step up and dominate? If Friday's any indication, I mean, what do you think? 15, 20 teams can win this thing after all the upsets. What happened to Auburn? What happened to Illinois?
Yeah.
What all the one seeds that lost Friday and Saturday?
Well, so you know how I feel about Gonzaga this year, and somebody asked me on Twitter yesterday, can they finally win it this year? And I said, well, yeah, they're really good, obviously. They're the number one overall seed. I'm not high on them, is what I said. But I've also pointed out, like, who else is great? How many other great teams do we have? Arizona is really good.
Mm-hmm.
This just in, Captain Obvious checking in. Arizona might be a great team. And I had UCLA at plus 280 to win the Pac-12. That team's up 54-41 against Arizona on Saturday night.
Horrible job defensively. And couldn't get a stop.
Not a stop to save their lives.
Terrible defense with a Cronin coach team.
Yep.
Arizona scored every time down the last 15 minutes.
It was astonishing.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So that cost me. But this Arizona team has been the real deal all year long. And I will love them to get by the 8-9 matchup, Seton Hall or TCU. But I've also, you know, this is his first year there. I've been high on some of these Arizona teams in previous years, but that was with Sean Miller, and they would always exit early. But this team is, I think, completely different. And their potential Sweet 16 matchup, Houston, UAB, Illinois. I know some people are making the case that Illinois might be in trouble against Chattanooga, which is entirely possible.
Yeah, they have size. Yeah.
But, and you like UAB maybe against Houston to, like them to maybe win outright?
Too many points.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, too many points.
Mm.
Which the problem will be the cleaning the glass, because Houston's so good cleaning up the glass and getting offensive rebounds. But if they shot like they did in the first half, it's not going to go well for UAB. But UAB's a good team. And again, this league wins games almost every year.
Mm-hmm.
Go back the last 10 years and look at the track record of Conference USA.
Yeah, very good. And by the way, the other Mountain West Conference team in the tournament that I have not faded yet, and that is San Diego State. That matchup against Creighton, I mean, that has a total of 119.5 for a reason, which might be still too high. And we told you that we liked all their unders in the tournament this week. The Mountain West Conference, every single game, it was just like 52-50 every game.
Yeah. 21-1 when they lead at half. 104-12 under Dutcher when leading at halftime. That's something to follow in the 8-9 game. And then number two scoring defense in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that was in the Big Ten championship, or excuse me, the Big East championship game. How that scored. How about the North Texas game Friday?
Oh,
afternoon?
My God.
Well, how low was the in play? 90?
Well, it was 90 when it was, I forget what stage of the game it was in at this point, but it was, I think it was early, maybe second half, was it? It was 90.5?
It's 10-2 North Texas, 10 minutes in. Then they scored 3 points the rest of the half.
That was it. They couldn't make a shot all day long the rest of the way.
They weren't even on the bubble either.
No.
That was too bad. They won the league and got to the semis, and that was a bad performance.
That was ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly was.
Yeah.
So a bunch of these matchups I find very entertaining, but I will not have bets on them. For example, the Texas-Va-Tech game, don't have a bet on that. I'd probably lean towards Va-Tech because Texas is in no great shape right now. And the other one is Miami and USC in a 7-10. I went back and forth on that matchup 10 times as soon as they announced it last night. You can make a case for both teams. Staying far, far away from that game.
Well, I know who's done very well in his life doing this is Alan Boston. And he loves to play coaches. It's strictly a lot of this is betting on coaches for Alan in the first two rounds.
Right.
Especially when you get with that short turnaround where it's a short prep time. You have one day to prep, and then you got to go out and do it again. But you would think, do you just want to take Beard with the coaching edge? Do you trust Izzo to get the win? I mean, you look at this with great coaches and say, and how you, I guess people have different power ratings on coaches. But if you would just want to take the better coach in your mind, and that's how you want to do it too. McKillop's excellent though with Davidson as well. But if
he's
you want,
very good.
Yeah, but that's that's what maybe you could lean with Texas against Va-Tech. And there's your other angle too about Va-Tech, which is playing. Making that ACC run, and now they have to go out again and take on a pretty good opponent in the first round.
It's one of the reasons why I initially liked Miami. I liked Larinaga a lot as a coach.
Yeah, he's good.
Great nugget from Greg Hoops Peterson on VEASAN's coverage yesterday of the bracket. Andy Enfield is 10-1 ATS in the tournament.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, that was, Big Ten was terrible last year.
Mm-hmm.
Pac-12, awesome.
Surprised yes, they
a
were.
A lot of people. But the Big Ten embarrassed themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I know I've heard a lot of anti-Big Ten this year going in again, which could be accurate. But again, I think they have a lot of favorable matchups, including those two that we talked about right away with the Mountain West.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think the teams are that good, but I think it broke right for all those teams.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I'm looking at Gonzaga minus $2 to make the Final Four. Is that a touch high? I get their power rating is just astronomical, but we ran down the path that they have. Minus $2 to beat all those teams? I would not be betting minus $2 on Gonzaga to make the Final Four. Back by popular demand, the VSiN Help Desk has returned. Our writers, hosts, and experts are here to answer your questions on all things college basketball. The VSiN Help Desk is here for you, not only for the big dance, but on the NIT, CBI, and CIT, too. Submit your questions at VSiN.com/madness. and it could be answered by your experts on air or on vsin.com. Again, questions can be submitted at vsin.com/madness. Up next, I can't believe this happened, but it created a great betting opportunity for about 5 minutes. Details on that coming up next.
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet the madness this year, 24-7 streaming, daily best bet emails, our tournament betting guide, advice, strategy, $19. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, we'll get you ready for every game, every round of the tournament. Sign up today, get the betting guide, plus full access to VSiN through April 5th for only $19, VSiN.com/madness.
How about what happened yesterday during the selection show? Outside of college basketball.
The timing for sports books, the ultimate get caught with your pants down moment. I mean, a couple people had the information early, but this is, you are getting prepared and prepping, coming out with tournament lines and looking at brackets and who got, and then all of a sudden the greatest quarterback of all time says, I'm coming back. Yeah. And what, who's paying attention to NFL futures? I mean, how many people came in, and that's when you go to the kiosk and you hit that thing until they run out of paper?
In that moment, but you don't have time to go to a kiosk, though. You don't have time unless you're at a sports book already.
Yeah.
Because it happened. I mean, the timing.
That's true, yeah. You had to be in the
first
book.
First of all,
yeah.
I couldn't believe that Brady did that on Selection Sunday, and I'm at, because I don't follow him on Twitter, and then I saw reporters doing this, and I had to click on their profile. I'm like, is this true? Is this really happening? And then my gut immediately said, you need to look at future prices right now and see what you can find. And so that's exactly what I did. It took me 10 seconds to go, wait, is that real? Click. Yep, profile is actually that person. Blue check mark, that kind of a deal. Now what can I find for a number? And I went to as many sports books as possible. Like four of them moved it within like a couple of minutes. But I was able to get down on the Buccaneers to win the NFC. Decent bet at 12-1. And the Super Bowl numbers were changing as I was betting it. So it went from 25 to 20, and I got a small bet on 20-1 for the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl.
He's 45 years old in August. And that was, okay, 2 months with the family? That's good enough.
Could have been the MVP.
I've had enough. Yeah, right.
This past year.
I've had enough. Yeah, that's credit. Oh, God.
So how about this? And you can get the story right now at vsin.com from our very own Ben Fox. He wrote this last night. A better unfamiliar to longtime odds maker Chris Andrews rolled into the South Point on Thursday, March 10th, looking to place a wager on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl. With Brady retired and the South Point sitting at 50-1 odds on the Bucs, Andrews was happy to take what he told VSiN was a big bet on Tampa to hoist next year's trophy, and he moved the odds to 30-1. A few hours later, the same bettor returned to place a small wager on the Buccaneers, this time at 25-1. At this point, I'm thinking, this is kind of interesting, Andrews told VSiN on Saturday night, or Sunday night. He then took the bet and lowered the odds to 25. Later in the day, the bettor returned to place another large wager on Tampa Bay at 25-1. After that wager, Andrews went down to 15-1. And then when Brady announced he was unretiring and coming back, he moved him to 4-1. And now they're looking at a liability well into the six figures, he says.
Yeah. That guy had the information.
Oh, no question.
Incredible. Yep. It's like the...
Was it Calvin Ridley?
Yeah. It's the story of Robert Walker when he was at the MGM. The guy's betting a Toledo football game. He goes, you know, it's a 2-point difference across the street. He doesn't care.
No, doesn't care.
The information. He's like, okay, I'm going to move the line. I'm going to bet it again. He doesn't care what the number is. I mean, here it's 50, 30, 25. The David Purdom tweet, I mean, that's innocuous. That could have been anybody. David Purdom had the tweet where a guy went to Caesars the other day and put 1,000 on the Buccaneers. That could have been a guy from Tampa.
Of course.
That's a guy on the strip. Putting 1,000 on a team to win a Super Bowl? That's nothing.
Right.
That could have been anything. But this guy going all the way down to the South Point, give me 50, give me 30, give me 25.
To bet it three times like that, this guy definitely had some information.
God.
That person's not betting with a gut feeling.
Yeah. Horrible job by Brady. You can't do that at Selection Sunday with the timing. So much for staying retired and hanging out with the family, right? But what a week for the NFL. The Ridley story, the Watson news, the Wentz trade, the Wilson trade, the GOATs coming back. I love the tweet, too. unfinished business. Yeah. Unfinished business. All these rings, all these trips to the Super Bowl. This is all, yeah, right.
Good tweet.
Yeah, Will Compton. 22 seasons, 7 Super Bowls, 5 Super Bowl MVPs, 3 MVPs, 15 Pro Bowls, unfinished business.
What would that be, Tom?
Yeah, sure.
What do you need to do?
God.
I was stunned that he would do that. You could have waited until this morning, Tom. You could have. I lost a little bit of respect for the guy, I got to tell you. But it did create a nice little betting opportunity. That's the thing of like, I happen to be on Twitter at that exact minute because I want to know everything that's happening with college basketball. And then all of a sudden, again, the reports come out. And I'm like, wait a second. There's no way that's true. Oh, yeah, there it is true. And then, like you said, everybody here, like in this state and then elsewhere, like, well, what are they paying attention to football for at that moment?
There's no need to be checking Twitter. I mean, you're looking at all these different numbers.
You're coming up with your numbers notes. for basketball games.
Yes. Getting ready to Madden. The matchups were just announced. Yeah.
So South Point did not screw around. 4-1.
Okay.
They're if you want to bet them somewhere else is basically what they're telling you.
Okay. And Watson had a good day Friday, too. So Carolina's supposedly all in. See if they can get this. That'd be great. Watson goes to Carolina.
Well, and the Saints, evidently, too.
Yeah. Saints want to make a push as well.
Well, how about this report? This is from Pro Football Network saying they're willing to look at Ryan Ramczyk, Marcus Davenport, another defensive tackle, and another offensive lineman, along with maybe 3 first-round picks.
My God.
So they're going to go like Herschel Walker here and offer everything. It's a lot. You don't want to gut your entire team.
Yeah.
But he did get some good news there with Watson. I know there was rumblings here on this network from Sean King, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback who hosts the Nightcap. That's every night at 10 o'clock Eastern. He said it could be the Steelers. And people shot that down late last week.
I hope he's right. There's been multiple reports that they want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But that's...
And other reports, by the way, how about the Browns, according to people in and around that area, potentially, you know, they're doing their homework right now and maybe upgrading from Baker Mayfield. And then ESPN's Dan Graziano reporting the name that he is hearing the most as the Colts' answer at quarterback is Marcus Mariota. He also said Mariota has been linked to the 49ers.
Mm.
Now, if he goes to the 49ers, is that would the plan for him be to be the backup for Trey Lance? Or does he beat Trey Lance out in training camp?
He took a guy in the top 5 and gave up all those picks. He's not going to play? What?
I know.
I like Mariota, but that's...
So do I.
What's going to happen? Who's getting Garoppolo then?
Good question.
I thought the Colts were going to get Garoppolo.
Does he go to Carolina if they don't get Deshaun Watson? Does Garoppolo go to the Saints? Potentially. Because Mariota, if he goes to the Colts, that means that he's their day one starter, case closed.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something happens with like an injury. He's going to be the guy. And then, I can't even believe I'm going to say this out loud. But this is from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. He reports that the Seahawks did not consider Drew Lock a, quote, throw-in in the Russell Wilson trade. Here's the quote from Fowler. There's a belief among some with Seattle that Lock's issues in Denver were a byproduct of a revolving door of offensive coordinators and a defensive-minded head coach.
Okay. Good luck with that.
Oh, are they in for a rude awakening?
Yes, they are.
And by the way, what do you have for a head coach in Pete Carroll? He is the opposite of progressive, very conservative, and he's defensive-minded. If they think that they can change Drew Lock because of the situation he was in Denver.
Mm-hmm. And with a run-first offense, too.
Offense is the same, but maybe even worse.
Yeah.
I read that today, and I was like, is this April Fool's? Like, with Brady combined with that comment, I'm like, did I miss something here? Coming back, he has unfinished business.
Would you want Landry? Because now with the Cooper trade, they're going to move on from Landry, too. I mean, that's and who's an upgrade over Baker? Who are you going to bring in?
A lot of talk about Derek Carr.
Yeah. Which, Mayfield had a bad year, but he was also hurt.
Yeah.
So
I would say that I think Derek Carr is slightly better than Baker Mayfield, but that's almost like a lateral move. You think? Maybe Carr is somewhat of an upgrade, but really, how much overall? in the grand scheme of things, like what's he worth to the point spread ahead of Baker Mayfield on any given Sunday? Half a point? You know? Were you scrambling to find Buccaneers tickets?
No, I was late. I'm like, what? What happened?
Yeah.
I got a tag. Get out of here.
That's
I'm looking at brackets. I'm looking at all the matchups and looking at numbers. And all of a sudden, I get the text 5 minutes late. Tom's back. Well, what do you mean Tom's back? You go to social media.
Yeah.
I can't take it.
I need more college basketball insight. Check out the podcast Coast to Coast Hoops. Greg Hoops Peterson will look at every major college basketball game on the upcoming schedule to find betting opportunities. He has an opinion on every single college basketball game. By the way, he knows like every single player in Division I. I'm not joking. It's bonkers. You can download Coast to Coast Hoops now at vsin.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. And while you're there, check up and catch up on every single show that VSIN has to offer. Up next, we will recap the betting action from the weekend. Bad beats, upsets, line moves in Win Some, Lose Some here on Follow the Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the Money on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Play free hoops for a share of $20,000 this March with the March Hoop Series presented by 5-Hour Energy. Fire up your lineups in four free-to-play contests and compete for your share of $5,000 per contest. Head to DraftKings.com/5-Hour Energy now to join the action. 5-Hour Energy, fire up your lineup. DraftKings.com for details.
By the way, thanks for the tip on this from Patrick on Twitter. And it checks out, Bam Adebayo is the new favorite for Defensive Player of the Year at PointsBet. Mm. And that's not the only book, by the way it looks.
Okay.
So he has surged past Rudy Gobert as a new favorite to win the award.
At Bet Rivers, the Bucks are -$3 to win the division. Bulls are 3-1. Utah's 1-10.
Ugh, man.
They're 2.5 up. They could lose tonight. It's 16 games left, but still, that's...
That's a huge number still.
Yeah.
Did you see Memphis at all?
Yeah, they're up there. They're in the same.
As Utah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, going back to what you said, too, about these totals, it's just with the way, I don't want any part of any of these unders tonight either.
I mean, some
of those games Saturday were fantastic from in-play betting.
Sure.
You had 70-point quarters left and right.
Yeah. Look how many games have a total of 230 or more tonight.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of them. Okay, so Tom Brady yesterday on Selection Sunday, when the games are getting announced, decided it would be a good time for him to announce on Twitter that he's coming back to play for the Buccaneers. So, wild, man. Seriously. To give you a little bit of a history here of what happened in Las Vegas, well, rewind to last Thursday when, again, there's 61 college basketball games on the board. And yes, last week was a pretty, crazy week for NFL news going on at the time anyway. But last Thursday, a bettor that Chris Andrews is not familiar with over at the South Point, the bettor came in and plopped down a nice bet on the Buccaneers at 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. Andrews moved their number to 30-1. He bet it again for a smaller bet, then moved it to 25 and came back and bet it big again. Andrews moved it to 15-1. And then Brady announced yesterday he's coming back. So Chris Andrews said, well, if you want to bet the Buccaneers, go find somewhere else to do it. We're now at 4-1, and we have a liability well into six figures. This bettor, no doubt, knew something about Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. I cannot believe it. Everyone making the jokes about, okay, that's enough of the family. And also the timing, he's at the Man U soccer match,
sure,
too, with the Glazer connection. I'm with you as well. The bad beat and lose some. The guy, okay, I understand if you have $500,000 to bet on a football, you're doing okay.
Yeah.
But I feel terrible for the guy who Saturday night, $518,000 on Brady's last touchdown pass.
Right.
And now, 12 hours later, hey, I'm coming back. Let's go. That ball is worth nothing now.
Clearly, the guy is okay. financially speaking.
Oh.
Okay. But just the feeling that he must have had yesterday when he realized the night before he plopped down, you know, $500,000 on a football, but what that football actually means. And again, you know, what is something like that worth? Well, it's worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. So to him, it was worth $518,000.
There was a lot of smoke, though. I mean, there was a chance this could happen. Not this soon and not with the timing.
Oh.
But there was a chance he could change his mind. And the people were, there was 49er rumors, too. But that's like, I want the first touch. I think it was Terry Glenn. I can't remember. I want the first touchdown pass. Nothing's changing there. Okay? That sold not that long ago.
Mm.
But this, with the last one business, it's like, okay, there's, you never know. The door's always open. But 45 years old in August? This is ridiculous. This guy could do it. I wouldn't be surprised he does another, not that it'll happen, but he could do another 2, 3, 4 years.
Well, who knows?
Look at the season he just had.
What's the point of speculating at this point?
I know, but I'm talking about he could do it, though. Can he do it?
By the way.
Would you be shocked if Tom Brady's 48 line?
I don't want to hear a single person speculate or ask Tom Brady if he's going to retire after next year. Don't do it.
Yeah.
It's worthless. It means nothing because the guy could do this over and over and over again if he wants. Now, one person, please do us a favor. Don't ask Brady if he's going to retire after this season. What's the point now? Let him come back and play and, you know, in his piece and go out there and play like an MVP again. Hell, he could have won it last year.
Mm-hmm.
He played well enough to win the award. If Rodgers does not put up the season he did, he wins. He's the winner of the award at 45
year.
Years old.
Yep. Yep.
And so, you know, obviously Arians is super excited to have him back. He is.
Of course, yeah.
You know, Mike Evans on Twitter, LFG exclamation point 10 times. You know, the entire team, they love playing with the guy. So there you have at it. I mean, the NFC is, I wonder if that played a part of it, right? Look what happened to the NFC since he retired. Like, we can win this thing again. There's no doubt we can. And by the way, once that video came out, when he was on the pitch with Ronaldo,
mm-hmm.
and he asked Brady, like,
yeah.
That's it, right? He goes, basically, he was mumbling. He could barely hear. He was, I don't know. You never know. That was like Saturday.
Hit pocket aces.
Yeah.
Brady
sure.
Had pocket
Bosco.
Aces. Yeah, sure. He did. Well, and then the Cousins news. I mean, this guy's made over 250 guaranteed. Oh,
in his career.
The amount of money Cousins has made, and he gets the extension. And yeah. It's fully guaranteed. He played it beautifully. I mean, he's played it beautifully for the last five, six, 7 years, what he's
done. Was it $35 million?
Yeah. He gets a raise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you make the playoffs?
He got one playoff
win. Is it possible to make the playoffs or
I
no?
Know. Yeah.
And then, you know, it looks like it's getting hot and heavy now, potentially, between the Saints and Panthers to acquire Deshaun Watson.
Ooh.
And some offshore odds that were up on Deshaun Watson, where he's going to play, if not the Texans, in 2022. Panthers 2-1. Seahawks 3-1. Well, the Buccaneers were 5, so this is going to have to get updated. Browns 8, Eagles 9, Saints 10. That was the opener.
I took a look the other day about Panthers to win the division because they're all in. The reports are they're all in for Watson. And you could see, you know, plus 450 to win the division. Okay. Thank God I didn't do that.
Well,
and with the Brady news, but there was, it's a good race.
What are the Buccaneers now? Stronger than $2?
Oh, I didn't even look.
Because the Packers are minus like 2, minus 205 right now.
Yeah.
And I would think the Buccaneers are going to be in that same neighborhood, right? Both those divisions for Rodgers and Brady. Oh, my God.
And who knows where he wants to
go. No, I get your point, though. If Watson would go to the Panthers? Yeah.
But I don't know where he wants to go. But it's also, you're going to give a godfather offer for the guy. And it looks like the Saints are prepared to do that. But Carolina, remember, Carolina wanted him in the worst way before all the therapist stuff happened, massage stuff.
Yeah. Like, if you're the Texans and a team like the Saints is willing to, and this is according to one report anyway, suggesting that Ramchick on the offensive line, Davenport on the defensive line, maybe some other players, and 3 first-round picks. Like, if you're Houston, you actually mute the phone, right, when you're having that conversation, and you laugh with your buddies. Can you believe they're offering this right now? Of course we're going to say yes to this. Like, you have to. If you're not going to play the guy,
mm-hmm.
right, why would you not accept 3 first-round picks for him and then other proven players that are good? That's got to be like a snap call here.
Oh, that's the big thing, right. I mean, the draft picks are fantastic, but if I also get proven players.
Of course.
And that's what he wanted all along.
A team like the Texans could go from, you know, a win total of 4.5 or 5 to, I don't know, maybe being a second place finisher in that division, shocking some people. Maybe surpassing a team like the Colts or shocking the Titans, something like that. A lot of talk, by the way, about the Texans, you know, trying to make a move in free agency outside of Watson for a quarterback. No, no, Davis Mills is the guy. Davis Mills played fine last year.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
I'd give him a shot in year two, for sure.
Well, I want to know what the plan is. Like, if the Browns want to move on from Mayfield, who are you going to get? I mean, what are the Colts thinking? Mariota? Are they thinking Garoppolo? And who's going to get Garoppolo now? Where could some of these other guys wind up? And then how high will a quarterback go in the draft? Will someone have the onions to take a quarterback top 10, top 12?
Who would you like more with Indy between Mariota and Garoppolo?
I'll still go Jimmy G.
Me healthy, too.
Yeah.
In that situation, no doubt. Yep. I thought about that last night, too. I'm like, well, that's simple. It's not even really a question for me. If I'm the Colts, I would definitely prefer Jimmy Garoppolo over Mariota. Mm-hmm. I think Mariota could be a starter somewhere, but I think a team like Carolina would make more sense for him. I think Jimmy Garoppolo with the Colts, pretty good fit, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That team could win that division. You're right, though, about like what's an upgrade over Mayfield with the Browns.
Yeah. That's.
Would you agree with me that Carr is a slight upgrade over Mayfield?
Yeah. God, that's tough. I guess. Kind of the same guy.
It's kind of the same guy, yeah. It's probably razor thin, the difference.
But I think what happened last year was a little bit unfair. He was hurt the whole year.
Yeah.
He was awful, but he was hurt. And now you get Cooper, but now they're going to move on from Landry. So
yeah, you can't forget about that injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big factor, no question. All right, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll get back into the tournament coming up next. Tell you about some of the bets that we made early on yesterday afternoon and last night. Some of them, for me, a pure fade of a conference that is 14-29 straight up since 2010. Details on that coming up.
Always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Your home for live in-play betting just got better. Introducing PointsBet, new feature, live college basketball same-game parlays for the first time ever. Build the perfect live same-game parlays only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game, and you can boost your live same-game parlays. Watch live, parlay live, and boost live with PointsBet. Sign up with the fastest sportsbook is now easier than ever, and new customers use code VSIN2K to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Elevate your live betting game now at PointsBet. The best in the business, college basketball and football. Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated joins us now. Follow him on Twitter and read him all the time, and his great work that he does, college football and the hoops. I have nothing to complain about, Pat. What do you think of the job that the committee did?
Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it, Pauly? There isn't a lot, I agree, to really poke holes in. I think they did a very solid job. You could pick some nits on, well, this team should have been a 2 instead of a 3, but that doesn't really matter. You know, the teams that are in, I think, are pretty much the right teams. I can't cry for anybody who was left out, per se. You know, some people thought Texas A&M kind of surprised after they make it to the championship game. And it's pretty clear that what happens on Sunday isn't taken into consideration too strongly. And that's just kind of, that's the way it goes. That's kind of the way it's always been, I think. So I think the committee did a good job and we've got a good bracket.
I would say the most egregious mistake, Pat, in my opinion, was the fact that they put Colorado State on the 6th line and Boise State on the 8 based on resumes, what Boise State did in the regular season and to win the conference tournament. Like, that didn't make any sense to me.
No, that's a good point. And I was just out there in your wonderful city and covering the Mountain West and the Pac-12 and the West Coast, and I was super impressed with Boise. I mean, they're good. And, yes, they won that league regular season and tournament. That's a good team. And really, I think all the Mid Mountain West Conference teams are dangerous, but I don't like any of their matchups, basically, where they got. If you flip Colorado State and Boise, I think that would have been fair.
What do you make of the LSU-Iowa State game? And LSU makes the tournament and fires their coach.
Yeah. That was one of them where, you know, the whole thing with LSU and with Will Wade, I mean, all I can kind of do is laugh at that. It's just the mockery that LSU has been, and that they kept Will Wade for 3 years. But they still didn't, you know, the committee certainly didn't throw him under the bus, because I thought that matchup's a pretty good one. Iowa State has been leaking air for a while now. So I have very low expectations for LSU. I was waiting, sitting there to fill out the bracket, like, that's a team I'm picking to lose in the first round. But then I'm like, oh, wait, Iowa State's not very good. They can actually win that game.
Yeah, yeah. Did you think that Gonzaga's bracket was like this year's bracket of death, the number one overall seed? And we talked about this a little bit earlier. I mean, I think their region is absolutely loaded. What do you think of their draw?
I think it's the hardest region, which, again, that doesn't make sense if that's your number one overall seed.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, they I think it was second round, third round, fourth round, all set up for very difficult games. That if they play Boise, it'll be a root canal game. Leon Rice is a former Mark Few assistant, knows him, plays a completely antithetical style. They would be much slower, and if they control tempo, it would drive them crazy. Or if you play Memphis, which has got about as much talent as anybody in the country, they've just been wildly inconsistent and kind of careless when they play. But still, that's a tough matchup for the number one overall seed. Second round, the round of 16, you're looking at Arkansas, who I think is really, really good. Regional final, you're either playing Mike Krzyzewski to go to his last Final Four, or you're playing a Texas Tech team that is just vicious and physical, which are the two things that I don't think Gonzaga likes a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so either way, I mean, I you look at rounds 2, 3, and 4, they're going to have dogfights.
Where are you at with Duke? I mean, several people have said it, that these kids, there's so much pressure on these kids about sending Coach K out on top and getting blown out at home against North Carolina. They did not play well at all in the tournament. I mean, they could have lost to Syracuse, and then they can't guard anybody, and Virginia Tech took them apart.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they are playing like there's a burden on them, and they are a young team. Like, if you look at the bracket, the oldest guy in Duke's rotation is younger than the youngest guy in UAB's rotation. So,
wow.
Like, the opposite extremes, yeah. They're like the top seven guys. So they're young. I think they're feeling that burden. And secondly, their defense has regressed badly. They were a pretty good defensive team, and then they've gotten worse, it seems like, here late in the season. So I don't know whether they can make it to a regional final and even get the shot at Gonzaga, but I don't see Duke going to a Final Four.
Yeah, have you had time to look at an upset or a sleeper early on?
Yeah, let's see. I think South Dakota State, I like them in their situation. Gosh, I don't have the bracket in front of me, guys. I'm sorry. But
okay. Providence. Yeah, Providence, yeah.
Providence, yeah, that's right. So South Dakota State's a 13 seed, had a really good season, dominated that league. And I just think Providence has been one of those teams that found ways to win games but isn't very good. Got absolutely destroyed by Creighton, and I think fully exposed finally there, and that they're probably looking at an early exit at some point in this tournament. So why not against the Jackrabbits?
Yeah. What do you make of Tennessee's chances going into this tournament? Now they're going to be a very trendy pick to make the Final Four, although they're in a pretty good bracket with potentially Villanova and then Arizona up top. But is that going to be too trendy of a pick with the Volunteers, you think?
I think it's going to be pretty trendy. I think that I picked them to get to the regional final, but it's going to be tough to beat Arizona, which will also be trendy, but they're also a number one seed. Arizona's been good all year. The only thing about Arizona, they're young, and we'll see if Kerr Creasa, the point guard, if his ankle is going to be okay. And he should be. I think he will be okay. So I love Arizona in this tournament. Tennessee, I like their guards. Man, they're quick, and they really do defend. They defend the heck out of people. I don't think they have enough interior offense or defense necessarily to go to a Final Four, but they also will not make it easy, except for the fact that, hey, Rick Barnes has had some major flameouts in the tournament before.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Loyola Chicago is favored in the 7-10 matchup against Ohio State, and we know what happened last year with the Buckeyes. How do you compare this Loyola team to the past teams that have had so much tournament success?
They're good and similar. You know, the last ones, last year's team certainly was led by Cameron Crutwig, who was just this, you know, very stationary, low post creative guy. They don't have him, so they're a little bit more open floor. Lucas Williamson, though, is like a sixth year senior guy who's a great leader. You know, was on the 2018 Final Four team, was on last year's Sweet 16 team. So he's a great place to start for them. They're playing, I think, a little more fast with Drew Valentine, a little more fluid and free. But they're still, you know, they're still built like a Porter Moser team, which is a good, solid defensive team. And I don't like Ohio State. I like Chris Holtmann a bunch, but his teams have tended to flame out at the end of the year pretty badly. If you look, you know, in the recent years, and boy, they sure don't come into this tournament in very good form. So I like Loyola a bunch in that one.
Okay. It's been a rough go of it since Manning retired. What does it mean to get Russell Wilson as you're a Bronco fan?
Oh, that's beautiful. I said at that my life has new meaning again. So after watching Trevor Siemian and Case Keenum and Drew Locke and on and on and on, just one uninspiring quarterback after another, this is it's a great new day, and I'm excited about it.
Well, I can ask you about this, Pat. There was a report, I think, from ESPN. This is the exact quote from Jeremy Fowler. Quote, there's a belief among some with Seattle that Drew Locke's issues in Denver were a byproduct of a revolving door of offensive coordinators and a defensive-minded head coach. End of quote from Fowler. You watch this kid play a little bit in Denver. I mean, I think they're in for a rude awakening in Seattle if they think that they can change this kid.
I watched him there, and I watched him in Missouri. And
yeah.
He's the same quarterback at Denver that he was in Missouri, which is he would make some incredible throws, some really nice plays. And then he'd make terrible plays. You know, I mean, the closer you got to the end zone, the worse his decision-making got. Thought he could fit the ball into thimbles, and he couldn't. You know, I'm sorry. And I like him personally, having, you know, covered him and everything. He's a nice, nice young man. But yeah. if you really think that all of a sudden he's going to do the things that he hasn't done in the 7 or 8 years I've watched him play, good luck.
Yeah, well said. Well said.
Yeah.
Okay, so then who do you have going to the Final Four? You said that you love Arizona. Do you have them cutting the nets down?
I have Arizona Gonzaga in the final, and I kind of think Arizona's the better team, but I think at some point, lack of experience versus Gonzaga's hunger and experience might be a factor. And maybe it's before. That's my only drawback with Arizona is just none of these guys have been there, including Tommy Lloyd as a head coach. But I love everything else about the makeup of the team. So I've got a Arizona Gonzaga championship. I've got Purdue in the Final Four, but boy, they're going to have to guard somebody at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of the other region who I had it's, there.
That other region is Kansas, Auburn, Wisconsin, Providence, Iowa.
Oh, right. I've got Kansas, but not with a lot of enthusiasm. I think that's the weakest region.
Yep. I totally agree.
Iowa could win that. Yep. Iowa could win it. I don't like Auburn. Incredible talent, bad chemistry, and just prone to some times when they just flame out. So yep. I think they are beatable. But I'd take Kansas. But again, this Kansas team's good, but not great. They could lose anywhere from 32 to Final Four.
Yep, agreed, Pat. Thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the tournament.
Yep, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Read him in Sports Illustrated. Up next, win some, lose some.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.